welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
We're well into our series. Does anybody know what the series is called? Pursue, right. Pursue what? What matters most. Okay, so let's bow our heads before we pursue this message this morning. Thank you, Father. Father God, thank you for the Word of God. You said the Word of God is like a sword. It can penetrate deeper into our soul. It divides soul and spirit, joint from marrow, and it discerns the attitude of the heart and the mind. Let the sword go deep, not just to injure, but to heal and to reveal. And help us to take the word that we hear today and give us the grace and the power to put it into practice for our own benefit and for your blessing and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You know, there are a lot of important things that we can pursue in our lives. But here's one thing that we really need to focus on, and it's called the heart. And today I'm going to talk about pursuing a heart that is whole and a heart that is healed. So let's start by looking at, thank you, sweetie. Let's start by looking at Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. And here's what the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel said in verse 26. And he's saying these words of God, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. The heart is important. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, when he entered the synagogue and he announced his ministry. And he said these words, amongst all those other words, he said, He has sent me, the Father has sent me to heal the what? The brokenhearted. Psalm 147 verse 3 says that he heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. Right? So, you know, you've heard this old saying, and it goes this way. Let's put that one up. Hurt people hurt people. Have you heard that? Well, I want to put a new saying, some new words to an old saying. I want to say this today, that heal people, right? Now, I want to be a healer and not a hurter. And I want to be better and I don't want to be bitter. See, here's the thing about heart, about hurt. Where does hurt usually end up in? It ends up in the heart. Hurt is in the heart. And your heart is the center of who you are, right? And so, Proverbs 23, in the NIV, it says, above all, guard your heart. Above all, guard your heart. The New King James Version says, puts it this way, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the what? The issues of life. How many of you have issues in your life? I've got issues in my life. And this is really true, and I think this is on your PowerPoint, that every issue in your life is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 15, verse 18, he says, but the words that you speak, where do they come from? They come out of your heart. They come from your heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, like murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander, evil thoughts like envy and hatred and all those types of evil thoughts, that's where they come from. See, your heart, here's the thing about the heart. You look at a person and you see their outward visage, but you don't know them until you get to know their heart, right? See, your heart is that unseen inner part of you that people don't see right away. But really, what's in your heart is going to be revealed. See, if your heart is healed, and then you're good, right? And what you're going to do is you're going to be good to other people. But if your heart is hurt, then you're not good. And you're not going to be good to other people. And instead of being a healer, you're going to end up being a hurter. Right? See, this is true. Every issue in your life is really a heart issue. Right? See, you can have a heart that's a hurt heart, that's been wounded by other people. You can have a heart that's a hard heart, you know, hard, and it's closed and it's callous and it's uncaring. You can have a sick heart because of disappointments in your life. Other people have disappointed you, or maybe you even disappointed in yourself, and maybe even you're disappointed in God. Can that happen? I think that can happen, right? You can have a broken heart where, you know, your emotions are out of control. You can't control your emotions, or else you're controlled by negative emotions. A broken heart where you can't receive love like you should, and where you don't have the joy and the peace that you know that you should have in your heart, right? So, point number one. But just because you've been hurt doesn't mean that you have to stay hurt, right? Listen, we've all been hurt. Have you been hurt in your life by someone? Raise your hand. Right? Every single hand should go up. We've all been hurt. Why? Because here's why. Because it's life. This is life. And life is a contact sport. Have you heard that before? Life is a contact sport. Right? In this life, in some way, you're going to be hurt. Right? Somebody's going to lash out you at you. You're going to be betrayed. Somebody's going to say something painful to you. Somebody's going to do something that really hurts you, right? And in this life, you're going to be hurt. Someone caused you pain. Maybe it was physical pain or verbal pain, you know, or marital pain, or even a racial pain because you're a different, you know, you're not like everybody else. You're a different color. You know, all that can happen to you. And often, I say often, we've been hurt by the people that we love the most, right? And as a pastor, sometimes you just love on people. Sometimes you don't always get that love back. You know, as a father, as a mother, sometimes the people that hurt you most are the people that you love the most, right? Right? It's true, but here's the good news. Point number two, God can heal you wherever you hurt, right? God can heal you wherever you hurt. You know, I'm not here to pretend to know you're hurt. You know, I'm not here to pretend to even feel your pain. But I am here to tell you today that God loves you. Yeah. Amen? And He understands where you hurt. I mean, He took His hurt on the cross for you. Amen? He knows exactly how you hurt. And God can heal you where you hurt, because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And that in some time in your life, if you have not had your heart broken, it's going to come. And I'm not trying to prophesy bad things to you, but listen, this is real life. And at some time, you're going to be hurt, and you're going to be hurt so bad. But I want to tell you that God knows where you hurt. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Here's the problem with hurt. Point number three. The more you are hurt, the more complicated you become. Isn't that true? The more you're hurt, the more complicated you become. The more you hurt, the more insecure you become, right? The more sensitive you become, right? The more fragile you become, the more overreaching, the more guarded you become, the more suspicious you become, the more you become, the more imagining of things in your mind you become, right? More imagining negative stuff. The more you become a person who has other people walking on eggshells around you because you're a hurt person. Amen? The more you hurt, the more complicated you become. But listen, healthy relationships are uncomplicated. They're uncomplicated because you understand the person. Right? You know their motives, right? And you don't have to walk around eggshells around people with healthy relationships. And really, that's what I want. And that's what you want. You want healthy people, healthy relationships in your life. Amen? Yeah. You want people who, you want to be around people who you know they love you, right? And you know their heart. And you can just be who you are completely, right? Just be who you are. Wouldn't it be great if we were so whole that, you know, that our lives would be so uncomplicated, right? Is that possible? I think it might be possible. I don't think it's easy. But I think that's what God came to do, to heal hearts and to make us whole people who aren't wounded people, right? I say in life, you can walk in one of two patterns. You can either, this is on your PowerPoint, you can either walk, you can either fly or you can walk in a pattern of pain or in a pattern of healing. And I think, here's the thing, we make the decision. We can say, you know what? I don't want to walk in pain anymore. I want to walk in healing, right? We make the decision. I say this, pain is unavoidable, but staying hurt is optional, right? You don't have to stay hurt. No one who is hurt has to stay hurt. God, I believe that God made that provision. I'll tell you a story. In the Bible, it's in New Testament. It's in Acts chapter 16. It's about two guys, Paul and Silas. And they were sent to Macedonia to reach and preach the gospel in a city, in a Macedonian Grecian city called Philippi. And Philippi was a very pagan city. It was a port city, a very important city. So they were sent there and to walk the streets and to preach the gospel. And as we're doing that, this slave girl with the fortune-telling spirit, she was possessed by a demon, started following Paul and Silas around for days. And every time they preached the gospel, she'd be yelling out, interrupting, saying, listen, these men are telling you the way to get saved. I mean, in a way, she was doing a benefit, but it was really bugging Paul and Silas. You know, it was interrupting what they were trying to really say. And so one day, this demon-possessed girl, his fortune-telling spirit, was yelling out, these men, blah, blah, blah. And Paul got so upset, he turned around. He says, in the name of Jesus, I command that spirit to leave you. And instantly, she was cured. The demon spirit left her. But here's the problem. Her owners were really mad because she couldn't tell people's negative fortunes anymore. And they lost all their income. And they were so upset. They got so mad. So in decided anger and animosity against Paul and Silas, said, these guys are teaching all kinds of junk and we shouldn't be listening to it. They had them dragged into the courts. And there they were accused. And then they were slammed into a prison. Listen, as in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas went. They went to preach the gospel. They went in love. They went in right motives. They went to help the city. But as Paul and Silas went, they were hurt. They were hurt. As they went, the haters hated them. As they went, the attackers attacked them. As they went, they were arrested. They were stripped. They were beaten with rods. And they were thrown into prison. Not just into any prison, but if you read that story, they were thrown into the inner cells of prison. You know what the inner cells were? They were deep down in the dungeon where they tortured the prisoners. They were sent in to be tortured and possibly die in that place. See, as Paul and Silas went, they were victims of hate and victims of injustice. But in verse 25, It says, along about midnight, Paul and Silas were at prayer and singing a robust hymn to God. The other prisoners couldn't believe their ears. Then, without warning, a huge earthquake. The jailhouse tottered. Every door flew open, and all the prisoners were loose. About midnight, in the place of their pain, mental, physical, spiritual pain, they did the very opposite of what they felt like doing. What were they doing? They were singing, they were praising to God, they were probably doing what no other prisoner had ever done in that prison. They were doing the opposite of what they felt like doing. Amen? Point number four. Most people stay hurt because they do what they feel like doing when they get hurt. Isn't that truth? They feel like they're doing. They got hurt. So they feel like getting angry. Feel like blaming others. Right? They feel like lashing out at somebody. Hurting somebody else. Right? They feel like shutting down emotionally. They feel like withdrawing. Right? I don't know. Have you ever been there? I'm kind of preaching and telling you the way I feel sometimes. Right? I don't know if you ever feel that way. Of course, you're all saints and I'm just a sinner. Right? Just kidding. I feel like I'm the worst sinner sometimes. But you know, that's what happens, right? You know, you feel like cursing and not blessing. You feel like hating instead of loving. Listen, in this world, it's hurt on hurt on hurt. Amen? And, you know, I mean, it's justified. I mean, I'm hurt because I've got a reason to be hurt. There's a reason I'm when I'm angry. There's a reason while I'm upset, right? There's a good reason. But listen, when you're like that way, there's a domino effect that starts to affect other people, like your kids and like your friends, right? And you're hurt. You literally can pass down your hurt to other people. Amen? And I've seen it happen so many times. I remember a long time ago, I saw, you know, we visited this fella I was trying to minister to him and I was trying to give him some counsel and I remember just meeting in his home and he had his two kids there and I just remember him just exploding. He was so angry at me because I was just trying to tell him truth that would set him free. And he got so angry and I was just, I've never been yelled like that as a pastor. But I remember looking at his kids and seeing his kids and seeing the same sullen anger starting to take over their countenance. You know, we got to be careful that we don't pass on our unforgiveness and our poison to our kids. Amen? I say this, to be a healer and not a hurter, you got to do the opposite. So can I give you seven powerful opposites, right? They're only powerful if you put it into practice, though, okay? So pen and paper, or get your mind ready, or you got your tablet, write these things down. Here are some opposites. To be a healer and not a hurter, you've got to do the opposite. Number one, you've got to put your hands up when your heart is down. Put your hands up when your heart is down. You've got to worship through your pain. Worship through your pain. You know, when you're down, all you want to do is nothing. You want to get down and you just want to withdraw and you want to get sullen. And the Bible tells you, listen, when you're going through hard times, lift your hands up and praise God. You know, it's hard. That's why the Bible calls it a sacrifice, because you don't really feel like doing it. It costs you. But God is telling you to do the opposite. Amen? Raise, stand up and praise. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a what? A sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess His name. The New King James Version says, Passion Version says, a steady stream of praise sacrifices. A continuous stream of praises to God. Continuous, whether you're feeling great and you want to praise Him, whether you're feeling down and so and depressed, you get up and you start to praise Him. Amen? It's a principle that God has given us to raise us out of our pain and darkness. I heard a saying of a very well-known preacher. He said, if you praise, you raise. But if you complain, you remain. See, when we praise, we raise ourselves up out of the pit of despair, and God places our feet upon a rock in order for us to move forward. Amen? Praise is such a powerful weapon. Number two, do the opposite. Forgive when you want to lash out and strike back, right? What did Jesus pray to tell the disciples how to pray. How did he tell us to pray in the Lord's Prayer about when people hurt us? Right? Lord, forgive our trespasses as what? We forgive. I see two of the most powerful words that you could ever pray when you're hurt are, I forgive, Lord. I forgive. Amen? We need to forgive. And I believe the release comes when you pray for someone and you say, I forgive, Lord. I forgive. How many times are we told to forgive that person? Once, twice, seven times 70? Is that right? Is that right, Dan? I mean, as many times as you get hurt, you're supposed to forgive. Sometimes you got to pray, not that you have 7 times 70 people to forgive. Sometimes you got to pray that many times over somebody who's hurt you, just one person. Because the enemy will bring that offense back to your mind, and you thought you forgave, and then it happened to me last week. I'm sitting there, and I'm struggling in my spirit. I'm struggling. And I'm thinking about what, you know, the people I've known in my life and some of the people I've been influenced and the people I've been hurt by. And I have, and all of a sudden, this list came back in my mind. I'm thinking, I'm starting to feel some of those same hurts and anger towards those people. And it's because the enemy is bringing it back. So I have to just say, okay, Lord, I forgive so-and-so, and I forgive so-and-so. I had 150 people to forgive. No, I'm just kidding. I had more like 5. Okay? But maybe you've got more, maybe you've got less. But forgive when you want to strike back. And always remember this. Forgiveness is not to release the other person. It's to release you. The other person maybe doesn't even know you've got this offense against them. But it releases you. Right? It releases you. Just remember that. Number 3, do the opposite. See good in the struggle. See good in your struggle. See God in the struggle, right? You hear the saying? In every cloud there's a silver lining. Silver, redemption, right? That's what silver is, a picture, is a symbol of redemption. And it's true. Another way to say it is, in all things, God is going to work something out good for me, right? God is going to work it out good for me. God is teaching me something. I'm looking for something good. Well, I'm going through this. Amen? God is with me in the struggle. He's Emmanuel. In the book of Daniel, in the Old Testament, 3 guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown by the king Nebuchadnezzar into the fiery furnace because they would not bow to his golden image. Remember that story? If you don't, read it. Powerful story. The king has them thrown in this furnace. He heats it up 7 times hotter than he's ever heated up. He gets his toughest soldiers to throw those guys into the fire, and as they're trying to do that, the heat is so intense, these guys die under the heat. But here, the king jumps up, he looks into the flames of the fire, and he sees not just 3 guys. How many are there? 4. Who's the 4th one? God, Jesus, is walking there. You know, he's never without, you know, you're never without him. See good in this situation. Realize God is in the situation with you. Amen? Amen. Powerful truth, isn't it? God is with you. Number 4. Put yourself out there to love like you've never been hurt. Satchel Paige. Anybody heard of Satchel Paige? This is Satchel Paige. Satchel Paige is a black American, was a black American baseball player initiated into the Baseball's Hall of Fame as the first African American pitcher, right? Famous pitcher, 1971. Played baseball for about 20 years in a time where he was the only black person on the field. And I tell you, he endured a barrage of criticism. They used to yell racial slurs out him from the stands. But Satchel Paige was an incredible baseball player. He was a man. He was a man. I believe he was a Christian, a man of integrity. And so they say that Satchel Paige, he was so good that at one time, and I think he even did it more than once, he looked at the next four batters in the inning, and he looked at the four best batters that were coming up, or the next three batters, and he would line them up, and he knew that they were in the lineup, so he would tell his outfield to go sit in a dugout, and he would tell his infield to sit on the bases. And he said, I'm going to strike, and he would strike out all of those players in a row. He was such an incredible pitcher, incredible player. It's said about him that he actually pitched three innings when he was 60 years old for a professional team in Kansas City. His most famous pitch was called the hesitation pitch. And it's where he literally freezed. It looked like he would freeze for just a split second as he was getting to deliver this ball. But it wasn't if you're a baseball player, they would call it a balk if you freezed, right? But as his upper body would come, hesitate, his leg would come around, and then he would throw the ball. And it completely threw the timing off with the batters. And he struck out so many batters with that particular pitch. He had an incredible armory of pitches, and he had a name for every one of these incredible pitches, like the Bat Dodger, the Midnight Creeper, the Trouble Ball. You know, and they were incredible. You know, there were screwballs. There were, I don't know, all these different baseball pitches, and he had them all, right? And he was also a man of many words, and he had many famous quotes like these. And here's one. I'll give you three quotes. Work like you don't need the money. Dance like nobody's watching. And there are many more. I love this one. Love like you've never been hurt. And that's what he said when he was being yelled up, all these racial slurs from the stands. And Satchel Paige was a man who lived in freedom. Right? Number five. Do the opposite. Talk about the promises of God instead of about the problem, instead of about the person, right? Talk about the promises of God. There are over 300 plus personal problems that you can focus on and you can believe God for, right? Instead of focusing on the problems. Amen? Number six, confess your faith over the situation. Confess faith over the situation. Have a positive faith confession, right? Find the specific scripture that fits your situation. I see for every problem, there's a scripture, right? For every situation, there's a scripture. Speak that scripture out. Declare that scripture. Confess that scripture. And number seven, last one, very close to that one. Number seven, self-affirmation. Affirm who you are through Christ. Joel chapter 3, verse 10 says, let the weak one throw out his chest and say, I'm tough, I'm a fighter. Right? Don't say, oh man, I don't think I'm going to make it. I just can't stand anymore. I'm tough, I'm a fighter, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen? Amen? They say that when you have a broken arm, Ava had a broken elbow today, I think Triva had a broken elbow too as well, but they say when you have a broken arm, you get a cast put on it, and you put a sling on it, right? But even after you get that cast taken off and that sling taken off, you tend to hold it like it was still in the sling, they say. Why do they do it? It's to compensate for the injury. You want to kind of hold on to it. You want to kind of protect it, eh? Isn't that the way it is? So that's what we can do if we've been hurt. And we don't want to live that way, do we? Okay, I'm going to finish up here. Back to Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16. It says, suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open. The chains of every prisoner fell off. Just imagine that scene. It says about when the power and the presence came down, the prison doors literally flew open, not unlocked and they pushed them open, but literally all the prison doors flew open. Just imagine the noise and the racket. Clang, 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 bang, bang, bang. And all the chains flew off and landed on the floor. Clang, 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 clang. And it says that all the prisoners were set free. Every single door flew open. Everyone's chains fell off. Here's the point. This wasn't just for the two men. It wasn't just for the two men. It was for everyone. the jailer, it was for the jailer. The jailer went home, called his family together. They all got saved, and they got water baptized. You see, here's the point. Our healings are not just for us. They're not just for us. Our story, our journey, our healings are for other people too as well. They're meant to give glory to God. They're meant to give you a testimony of the goodness and the grace of God. Amen? When you're going through a tough time, and you're praying, and you're asking God for help, and then God comes and helps you, and you know, you just want to tell people, hey, you should hear what happened to me today. It gives glory to God. Amen? Horatio Spafford was a prominent lawyer, wealthy businessman, and he lived in Chicago in the late 1800s. In 1871, Horatio Spafford literally lost his entire fortune. He had lots of real estate, lost all his fortune, lost his property, and this was 2 years after. I'm sorry, this is just after, just months after he has lost his two-year-old son. 2 years later, he sent his wife and his four other children, girls, to Europe. And they're going to have some holiday. They're going to do some missionary work too as well. And while they were going, while they're in the English Channel, as they were leaving the English Channel, now he sent his wife and his children ahead. He stayed behind to do some business dealings. And as the boat on which his wife and his children were leaving the English Channel, they were hit by another British vessel. All his children died. Four girls died. His wife sent a message back to him in Chicago. Just two words. Saved alone. Saved alone. Spafford goes to meet his grieving wife. And as he, in his journey, as he hits the place approximately roughly where his children died, he penned the words of this song, and it goes this way. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my loss, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That song has literally ministered to millions of people. Who sang that song before? Many of us. That's who wrote it. And that's how it got penned. I say this, you never know how God will use you to heal other people, right? God used Paul and Silas. God used the Philippian jailer. God used Horatio Spafford to touch millions. Listen, God can use you. Amen? How about your story? God can use you. Here's what Jesus said. I'm leaving you with a gift. And what's the gift? Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or don't be afraid. See, I believe that one of the greatest gifts that God can ever give us is a whole heart, a heart that's at peace, a heart that's been healed and is free by trouble and fear. Amen? That's what God wants to give us. So, I believe that holding on to hurts is not a small thing, is it? Not a small thing. I brought my water bottle today. You know, this is Doug's water bottle, and I take it, you know, whenever I do exercise, and I'll take it with me, and it, you know, and it doesn't weigh much, right? It's just a small little thing. I mean, it doesn't weigh much, but here, listen. It doesn't matter how much it weighs, but it does matter how long I hold on to it, right? Hold on for a minute. It's got water in it. It's made of glass, some metal in it. Hold on for a minute. It's easy, right? Easy. Hold on for an hour. Do things. Hold on for an hour. Starting to get heavy. Here, Dave. starting to get heavy. It starts to get heavy if you'd hold on for a long time, right? Hold on for a day, and it starts to hurt. Hold on for a week, and it'll hurt you. It'll harm you, right? It's not an insignificant thing. Listen, I use that analogy to say this. We've just got to let some things go, right? We've just got to let it go. And you know, hurt is going to happen. I say, you're going to be hurt in life. And yeah, I get hurt all the time. I don't know about you. This is that pastors are some of the most wounded people ever, you know. But pastors also have the grace of God. You know, I think it's a sin to, I think it really is a sin to stay in your hurt, right? And, you know, but what does the Bible say? Where sin abounds, how much more does grace abound, right? As much as we've been hurt, God's healing can heal every hurt. Amen? So I want to say, if you've been hurt today, if you're struggling with hurt, maybe if you've been hurt by your father, you know, can I say this on the behalf of fathers? I want to say, I'm so sorry that you've had hurt and anger and abandonment in your life. I'm so sorry. You know, if you've been hurt by the church, if you've been hurt by me, the pastors, leaders, I say, I'm so sorry, you know, for the pain, maybe understand, misunderstand that you'd experienced. Right? You've been hurt by someone close. Will you forgive them, right? You know, if you've been hurt by, you know, men, if you've been hurt by a male figure, on behalf of fathers, uncles, boyfriends, friends, will you please forgive? Amen? Will you please forgive? You know, I've just mentioned a few. But I'm finished now. I want to say, let's let go of hurt. Amen? Let's get hurt. Let's let go of hurt. Let's walk in a pattern of healing. Amen? Let's be healers and not hurters. Will you agree with that? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father. Just bow your heads. You know, what you keep out of your heart is vital. But what you put into your heart will determine, will even control your life, your destiny, your happiness, and even your physical health. I want to encourage you today, put His Word into your heart today. Put worship into your heart. Put repentance into your heart. Put forgiveness into your heart today. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, by your grace, by your power, give us the ability and the power to keep our hearts guarded, to be vigilant of what we see, what we hear, and even what we speak, Lord. Help us by your power to maintain our hearts by filling it with your word, filling it with praise and worship, worshiping you in spirit and truth. And constantly to be in that soft place of repentance, confession. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Just keep your heads bowed for just a minute. I want to say this, you know, salvation is such an incredible gift. And it's received when you believe that Jesus was sent by God to die on the cross for your sins. And it's also by just receiving Him into your heart, just even saying, God, I need you in my life. Just inviting, I just invite you to come into my heart, be Lord of my life. And if you ask that, God will do that for you. The greatest thing that God could ever give you is a brand new start in life, the gift of life, which is a good life, abundant life, and eternal life in heaven. What more could you ask for? So if that's you, I want you to say this short prayer, powerful prayer for a new beginning with God and a walk with God. Will you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I believe that you shed your blood on the cross to pay for my sins. Today, Lord, I repent of all my sins and I receive and I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.